been in my eyes in a long time. In any event, this is just a meeting and I'm just an addict. It's a big fucking meeting, but it's a meeting. I want to thank the Frederick area, right? The Chesapeake Bay Potomac region. All the trusted servants that have served on every committee with this convention, it doesn't matter what you're doing. It matters that you show up and you contribute to making this convention happen. So let's give everybody a good hand right now. Yeah, that's right. I might be I got a little eggnage. The Portuguese call it eggnage. You know when you got butterflies in your stomach. Where are my Portuguese friends from Fall River, Massachusetts? My Portuguese people from back home. The theme this year is miracles beyond measure. And you know, I've been thinking about it all weekend, and I got a story that's unbelievable. I'm a miracle beyond measure. But for those of you that did not pick up your, if you got in here, you scalped a ticket or you robbed somebody's little blue pouch or maybe you slipped a fin to one of the trusted servants at the door. Maybe you snuck in the exit. Whatever. Welcome. I don't give a fuck. Because I'm batshit crazy, all right? I might as well apologize now for my language. I went to some meetings, and if my profanity offends you, I'm sorry now. I'll be sorry later if you want me to apologize later. I get excited. Sometimes I swear for effect. Sometimes I swear because swearing is the only word that can adequately describe. It's like an adjective and an adverb. It's a verb. It's a noun. I thought about trying to clean it up. It's not happening. I'm a work in progress. You can take the girl off the street. You can't take all the street out of the girl. These are my people. So anyways, miracles beyond measure. I want to read it just in case you didn't get one of these. Our theme, the same tools that brought us from the brink of death can continue to bring us miracles beyond measure when we learn to fuel our journey with passion and excitement rather than pain and desperation. That's from The Living Clean, The Journey Continues, page 17. I have to tell you that I'm nothing short of passionate about Narcotics Anonymous. And I hope if you walk away with anything tonight, it's that I'm excited. I'm a grateful member of Narcotics Anonymous. But for the grace of God, I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for the 12-step fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. I'm excited about being here in Ocean City Beach, Maryland. I'm excited that they were listening to tapes and they said, let's get this batshit crazy white chick from the East Coast to come down here and share her experience, strength, and hope. I do a few things before I share. I pray. I walk around. I have my iPod on because I've got to clear my head because I've got voices in my head. They tell me shit like, you're just a hooker with a good story. You're not pretty enough, you're not smart enough, you're not funny enough, you ain't been recovering enough. You know, that's the voices in my head, that's what they tell me. There's the door, go, don't stay, they don't want you, they don't need you, they don't love you, they don't like you. And so I put on an iPod for a good half hour before I shared, because then I can't hear those voices and I listen to songs like, I love bad bitches, that's my fucking problem. she says, that's what you listen to kind of get yourself scented? I said, yeah, I love bad bitches. That's my fucking problem. To each his own. It's about my story tonight. And so I want to do a little welcoming. I was at a meeting Thursday night here in town. There was a young girl, I don't know, Sue, Sandy, something, maybe from New Hampshire or something. It was her first convention. If it's your first convention, stand up. Stand up if it's your first convention. Welcome to your mass throngs of fellowshipping on a large scale. Welcome. I got advice for the first time convention people. I'll share it. I want to welcome all the fine men and ladies here tonight of Narcotics Anonymous. There's some fine looking people. It's a program of attraction, not promotion. I want to welcome them guys from AA that came in here to find fine N.A. Punani. Yeah. You're welcome. Welcome to Narcotics Anonymous. I want to welcome my predecessors. My clean date is October 14th, 1987. So I want to welcome my predecessors, the people that showed up, set up meetings, got halls, you know, brought us to meetings. I want to thank our predecessors. I want to thank Jimmy Kay. I want to thank AA. I want to thank everybody, everywhere that showed up and made this convention happen. You know, if this is your first convention, enjoy yourself. Keep your little mementos, save them. Come back next year when they do the clean time countdown. You get to stand up again for some clean time. Be excited about Narcotics Anonymous. Go to the dance. Go to the dance. Meet your next ex. Right? I do. Be safe. First time convention person, be safe. Drink lots of Red Bull and Monster, smoke butts, use condoms. Be safe. It's a program of change. I know, I like being reckless myself. Don't be reckless. Be safe. It's all about change. Start out using a condom. I'm trying to promote a new way of life. Okay? You still want to marry me? Yeah. I called my sponsor. I said, sponsor, I'm in Ocean City Beach. I'm at a meeting. I'm getting ready to share Saturday night at the meeting. She says, oh, that's good. I said, there's 7,000 people. She started laughing so hard, she couldn't even continue the conversation. I said, act like a fucking sponsor, will you? He said, come on, like, pray. Say something, like, wicked cool that'll calm me down. She said, just be yourself. And all I know is this. I know where I came from, how I got here, and what I do to stay. I'm going to try to do that in, like, 40 minutes or something, right? You know what I would love? I'd love a couple people to be able to tell me time. Like, give me 10 minutes, all right? I'm counting on you. Because you're busy. Thank you. say squares because you have to. Like bullshit. How do you say bullshit? Isn't one of these like bullshit also? Huh? Yeah. I learned a little bit along the way. And let's say hello to the people in the overflow room. You're part of this convention. You're part of this meeting. Let's say hello to them. I want you to know, though, the chairs in the overflow room are padded with arms. You can stretch out. They got valet service, appetizers, all you can drink water and Starbucks coffee. So while you were all really elbowing your way in here for a good seat, those people in the overflow room are living like fucking rock stars right now. History. We don't have that much time, but listen, Narcotics Anonymous is in the miracle-making business, and I'm not talking little miracles, I'm talking about big miracles. I'm not talking about sometimes there's a miracle, all the time there's a miracle. I'm talking about we are in the miracle-making business, so it's no coincidence that this is miracles beyond measure. You know, I'm grateful for everything I have and I've done and I've felt in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, 27 years ago, I was a dope shooting whore on the streets of Fall River, Massachusetts. And you don't gotta know where Fall River, Massachusetts is to appreciate that. But you ever hear the story about Lizzie Borden? That's Fall River, Massachusetts. Lizzie Borden took an axe. She gave her father 40 whacks. When she saw what she had done, she gave her mother 40 fucking one. That's Fall River, Massachusetts, where chicks put axes in their parents' heads. That's where I got high. That gives you like a playing field, where to start with me. So at the end of my youth, and I was a lying, cheating whore in the streets of Fall River, Massachusetts, and I really didn't think I was ever going to rise above much more than that. You know, I was a lying, cheating, dope shooting whore. You could buy and sell me for a bag of dope. You know, I never saved a dime. I never had a registered car. I was evicted out of apartments. I lost jobs. I gave birth to a little boy. I dragged him through it. My house was a shooting gallery. It was full of pimps and whores and dope dealers, bikers and outlaws and gangsters. You know, I lived to use and used to live. And I never thought I was going to have a day clean. I never thought there was a way out. I never thought that I was ever going to experience anything than that degradation that I was living every day. You know, I lived to use and used to live. You know, and if you're unfamiliar with that, pick up our literature. The basic text has my story in there. Every time there's a new story, it's my goddamn story. And I remember the last time I used, and that's the only using story I share about. I'm a firm believer that if you don't remember the last time you used, you're this much closer to the next time you use. I don't care about anybody else. I care about me, and I like hearing your drug-alogs. I like hearing about how you survived the storm. We're doing big things in here, right, Frankie Bones? Big things. So I want to know how you used and where you used and where you come from. Because I love to appreciate that miracle that Narcotics Anonymous is in the business of. You know, we all got stories. My mouth is my moneymaker. And I mean that in all kinds of ways, but... people get the gift of gab. Everybody does service work in here. I just happen to have the gift of gab. I was 27 years old, living in a Section 8 apartment. I was subleasing my son's bedroom to the dope man. Subleasing the bedroom, the other bedroom, to the dope man. And I had a diabetic broad that lived downstairs. I didn't have a hustle in me anymore. I couldn't hit the streets anymore. I couldn't leave the house. My last 2 weeks of using consisted of the bathroom getting high, the kitchen sink for a glass of water, copping a knot and drooling on myself on the living room couch. The bathroom to get high, the kitchen sink for a glass of water, the living room couch to cop a knot and drool on myself. The bathroom to get high, the kitchen for a glass of water, the living room couch to cop a knot and drool on myself. That was the last 2 weeks of my using. And I remember I started calling detox. And my story is like everybody else's story. I didn't really make the connection that my using was unmanageable and that's why my life was unmanageable. I thought it was him and them and this and that, the dog, the kid, the neighborhood. You know, I didn't really realize, I didn't make that connection. But I know one thing, that I got to detox the day before I died. And I know something else. I know a couple things, actually. I'm pretty fucking smart. I know that I got here, you know, when we circle up, you know how we open a meeting with a moment of silence? And when we close a meeting, we circle up and we do another moment of silence. Divine intervention got me to Narcotics Anonymous. It was those prayers of addicts praying for the people out and inside of the halls. I know it was the prayers of my parents and it was the prayers of everybody. See, you know, if you're one of those addicts sitting there, you don't think your disease affects everybody. I'm going to tell you how my disease affected everybody. My disease not only just affected the immediate family around me. I dragged a kid into it. I had an old man, my parents. But the pizza guy that delivered pizza was brutally attacked by me verbally every time he was late. Or the taxi cab driver. Or the waitress. Or the anybody that came in contact with me. I wasn't one of those nice junkies. I was a lying, cheating, abusive, violent, dope-shooting whore on the streets of Fall River, Massachusetts. There wasn't anything nice and kind and empathetic about me when I used. I lived to use and used to live. And I wanted more, faster, now, them, theirs. And I was willing to go to any length to get my next high. So I wasn't nice when I was using. And I can remember that I got to detox the day before I die. I believe that's part of my story. And I got to that detox and I didn't know anything about staying clean. I didn't know what people did. Like, what do? They knit or something? What do they do when they're clean? You know, and they bowl, right? What do? And I didn't know about getting clean or staying clean and what people did because all my life it was about, you know, being a criminal and hanging with criminals and living to use and using to live. It was about lying and cheating and whoring and fighting and sex and drugs and rock and roll. And I didn't know any other life. So I go to this detox again. You know, if you're just coming back, welcome back. Stay. And they didn't ask me to come out here and share my opinions, but I'm going to share one in a minute because it's how I got clean. I end up in this detox again. You know, I tried methadone clinics. If you're on methadone or Suboxone or some other drug replacement therapy, welcome to Narcotics Anonymous. You are a member when you say you are. Don't let us push you out the door. Please stay. Please stay. And you know, but my story is that stuff didn't work for me. And so I'm in detox again. And I have to tell you, you know, commitments came in every single night. This is the only opinion I'm going to share. Narcotics Anonymous, H and I commitments came in every single night. Every single night for 1 hour, H and I commitments. Hospitals and institutions, those commitments came in every single night. I was in a state-run detox. I wasn't at any kind of fucking country club in Newport, Rhode Island or in Beverly Hills. You know, I had styrofoam slippers with smiley faces. I ate Cheerios and, you know, and with free, it was crazy. Anyways, I met great guys in detox, though. Anyway, so I'm in this detox, and every single night for an hour, Narcotics Anonymous would come in and carry the message of Narcotics Anonymous and the miracle-making business we're in every single night. And so I got to tell you, you know, at the end of my story, I'll tell you all the gifts that I've received, you know, how great my life is, how I stayed clean. But I got to tell you, my life is a miracle beyond measure. I don't have enough time to tell you the gifts that I've received as a result of staying clean in Narcotics Anonymous a day at a time. But I can tell you this. Those NA commitments came in every single night. They drove to that detox, picked each other up, parked the car, went through the security, went up to that floor, you know, and sat around at, you know, like I was kicking, like, you know, I hated kicking. I didn't get clean for a long time because I didn't want to kick. And they would carry the message of Narcotics Anonymous every single night. And they were talking about staying clean and having sponsors and joining groups and traveling to conventions. They were talking about getting jobs, paying taxes, paying mortgages. They were talking about getting their kids back. They were talking about learning to read and being monogamous and getting married. They were talking about getting their license and having cars registered. They were talking about staying clean and feeling good about themselves. They were talking about looking in the mirror and liking the person they seen. They were talking about smiling and laughing and having coffee after a meeting. They were talking about being members of home groups and writing steps and working with sponsors and having intimate relationships that didn't involve, you know, punani and teepee. They were talking about all kinds of stuff. Man, and I was attracted. You know, and I have a life beyond my wildest dreams. And you know something? This is what gets my ass. Friday night, the phone rings and Frankie calls and says, Rena, can you go on a commitment with me? And for a brief moment, I pause. And I say to myself, oh, I just worked a 10-hour day. I got to go home. You know, I got this job that I work a 10-hour day to pay the mortgage. I got to go home. The dog is going to need a walk to take a shit. The kids are going to have to be fed. I'm going to have to wash the car and probably kiss the old man's pee-pee. And Frankie wants me to go on a commitment. So I pause before I answer. So I'm trying to think of something to say to get out of this. I can tell you that I thank my God every day that the people that came to my detox every night didn't say no, didn't come up with an excuse, didn't say, Johnny's got baseball, I gotta kiss the old man's pee-pee, I worked a 10-hour day, the dog needs to go for a walk to take a shit. I'm grateful for H&I. So if you do H&I and you carry the message, if you take the time out of your life for some sick, suffering addict like me, give yourself a hand. We're doing big things up in Narcotics Anonymous. I wouldn't have a mortgage that I would need to work a 10-hour day for if it wasn't for Narcotics Anonymous. I wouldn't have a dog that needs to take a walk to take a poop if it wasn't for Narcotics Anonymous. I sure in hell wouldn't have those kids I need to feed or food to cook them if it wasn't for Narcotics Anonymous. And I sure in hell wouldn't have that old man's pee-pee to kiss if it wasn't for Narcotics Anonymous. He'd be paying. That's how I heard the message of Narcotics Anonymous. So if you're a first-time convention person, welcome to Narcotics Anonymous. That's how this addict got here. Those commitments came in, and this is how I stay. I do the same things today that they came in on that commitment and told us. I haven't deviated from that recipe. I might have fine-tuned it in some areas. You know, maybe I didn't come in here kind of bustling with spiritual principles, but I can tell you, you can stay clean and not do any work and probably get high, or you can stay clean and recover and experience miracles beyond measure. Those commitments were coming in and they were talking about meat and makers make it. Meat and makers make it. I said, sure, I'll go to meetings. It's where the boys were and the girls. My story is an all-inclusive sexuality story. Not for nothing. I'm one of those chicks. I don't care who smiles at me. I told you I love bad bitches. That's my fucking story. Anyways. They said, meet and make is make it. And man, I've been going to meetings. I still go to meetings. And when I go to meetings, I sit up front. I don't have my phone with me. I leave it in the car. I want to hear the message. I want to see what's going on. I need to pay attention. I got a little ADD, a little ADHD. If I sit in the back of the room, I'm watching the fashion show. I'm figuring out who I'm going to fuck next. Where'd she get those boots? How does he afford those earrings? Now, those are Tim's, but he ain't paying his child. So I start taking inventory in the back of the room. That's my story. I'm not talking about anybody else. I'm just talking about what happens to me if I don't sit up front. I sit in the back. I become the judge, the jury, and I render a verdict. So I still sit up front. I have sponsees. They sit up front. They don't get to bring their phone in the meeting. You know, I'm all about learning a better way of life. And more importantly, as an old timer now, I feel an obligation to set an example. You know, I feel an obligation to set an example as an old timer in Narcotics Anonymous. Nothing pisses me off more when I see somebody with 20 plus years like this in a meeting. It pisses me off. You know, if you're a newcomer and your phone's on in the meeting, listen, I don't care. I'm just happy you're here. But if you're an old timer and you're in one of my meetings, you're gonna get a verdict and it's gonna be guilty. And then I'm gonna sentence you. And it ain't gonna be good. You know, because, you know, I've grown up in Narcotics Anonymous. I'm a cranky old timer now. I'm cranky. So I still go to meetings because I remember they told me meeting makers make it. And I know that the miracle for me always happens in a meeting. If I'm going through good times or bad times, indifferent times, difficult times, trying times, stressful times, I go to a meeting. Meetings have never failed me. The magic in a meeting has never failed me. The energy in a meeting has always built me up. I may go in a meeting not feeling that good, and I always leave though feeling a little bit better. So the magic of a meeting always works for me. Meeting makers make it. And I gotta tell you something, as an old timer, newcomer, I want you to call me and ask me to go to a meeting with you. It's okay to call the old timer and ask them to participate in your recovery with you. They just think we're here and we're gonna show up, but I like to be asked too. I want to be included in cookouts and field trips and NA road trips. So, as an old timer, I feel obligated to remind you that I'm still a member of Narcotics Anonymous, just like the newcomer. So if you haven't hugged an old timer today, make sure you hug an old timer today, all right? So meeting makers make it. Those commitments came in. They said, get a sponsor, work the steps. My first sponsor, she was a biker chick with tattoos. Because she looked like she could handle me. But I got to tell you, my sponsor now is Beth. And before her was Kat. And my sponsors had sponsors who had sponsors. My sponsors worked the steps, the NA steps. And I've worked the steps out of the flat book with my sponsor. And I'm working on them with my sponsees because that's what they told me at these commitments. Get a sponsor, work the steps. And that's what I do because that's what they told me. Is my story about that was my process in the beginning? No. I didn't pick up a step book till I was 10 years clean. I went to step meetings because that's where the guys with time were. Because you told me it was a program of attraction, not promotion. I was attracted to the men with time in Narcotics Anonymous. So I went to step meetings. I could recite the steps, but I didn't know what they meant. And it didn't really matter a rat's ass to me in the beginning. And I'm going to share with you what happens when you don't recover in your early recovery. My story is that I was a lying, cheating whore on the streets of Fall River shooting dope for a long time. And when I got clean, I just stayed a lying, cheating whore. I stayed a prostitute in Narcotics Anonymous for a while. I committed crimes in here. I carried on in an inappropriate, unacceptable manner. And if you do that, you don't get to reap the benefits of it. You know, that's what I've come to learn. And I didn't want to hear about steps or sponsorship. I didn't want to hear about prayer or meditation. I didn't want to hear about changing the woman I brought in here. You know, my ultimate goal in life, when I was in detox, my roommate was this big blonde broad, Audrey, from Boston. And she was a hooker in the combat zone. That gave you street cred. It was like, what do you have, what is it, like 14th Street or something? Is that where the hookers are? That's where they used to be? All right, yeah. If you were a hooker on those kind of streets, that gave you some street cred, you know? And Audrey was from the combat zone in Boston. And so she was like a Nordic goddess. She was tall and blonde and a hooker. And we bonded in detox, because that's what hookers do when they get clean. They bond with other hookers. We have like an underground society of clean hookers. We raised the bar. And because all I really wanted to be when I first got clean was a clean hooker. I wanted to buy a house and get clean whores. I wasn't giving any more money to the man. I wasn't giving any more money, leaving any more money in that shooting gallery. I was going to be a clean hooker with clean whores and make money. I was going to be a madam. I wasn't going to do it. That was my goal in Narcotics Anonymous when I first got here. Because they said to me, Rena, you can be anything you want to be. Just stay clean a day at a time. Told you my mouth was my moneymaker, honey. But the steps changed all that for me. You know, when I first got here, all I knew was living on the streets. All I knew was lying, cheating, stealing, whoring, lying, cheating, stealing, whoring, lying, cheating, stealing. That's all I knew. And when I first got here, I thought that's all I was ever going to know. I didn't think I was going to be anything but a liar, a cheat, a thief, and a whore. And what happened is, you pick up a step book and you get with a good sponsor, and that shit will change. When I was using, my disease dictated everything I was, everywhere I went. If your favorite color, whatever your favorite color was, it was my favorite color. What music you liked, I listened to you. I listened to it. I liked what you drove. Your car was my favorite car. I liked that club. I liked that song. If you liked that song. Wherever my disease brought me, I lost all sense of identity when I was using. If you don't know what your favorite color is, that's fine. If you don't know the things you like or love or the great things about you, that's okay. But I know that the steps were a journey for me about self-discovery. When I walked in here, I just thought I was a lying, cheating whore from the streets of Fall River. And I didn't think I was ever going to rise above that. I didn't have a favorite color, a favorite song. I didn't have a favorite anything, because the disease of addiction had stolen any sense of identity that I had. You know, I started writing those steps, and I discovered a loving God in the first three steps. I learned about my disease. I learned about powerlessness. I learned that surrender isn't weakness. Surrender is courage. I learned that the God of my understanding is kind, loving, and caring, that I'm never alone, that I got a sponsor and a God and a fellowship and steps. You know, so the first three steps gave me a great foundation to embark on that journey of self-discovery, so to speak. You know, because I came in here, I looked down, I had baggage, and even when I got clean, I created more baggage. And I have to tell you that the fourth and the fifth step, you know, I hear people say all the time, oh, the fourth step, it's going to kill me, or the fifth step will kill me. But that fucking shit didn't kill you the first time. It isn't going to kill you the second time, but what I have discovered is that if you don't write a thorough fourth step and share it in a fifth step, if you don't share those secrets, that shit will kill you. There isn't anything about my life that my sponsors don't know about me, and I don't live my life in a manner today that I can't raise my hand in a meeting and share about it openly. Now, that's how I live my life. I'm afraid to do shitty things. I'm afraid to pay the price. I paid the price for years. I don't want to live that way anymore. One of my good friends, Adam, told me once, "Those are not your people anymore, Rena. These are your people." And so I've embraced Narcotics Anonymous. The sixth and seventh step, those are those. I'll tell you what the sixth step was for me. Hey, why am I an asshole and how can I stop being one? That's it for me in a nutshell. What makes me be an asshole? Arrogance, usually. Fear, usually. Low self-esteem, usually. And I can come out the side of my neck. And the sixth and seventh step taught me that you don't have to be an asshole forever, Rena. And you can really reduce the amount of times you are an asshole. I invited the God of my understanding into that process, sometimes on a second-by-second basis. And the steps helped me relieve myself of that guilt and burden of shame by doing a thorough eighth and ninth step. You know, I'm going to share my son was on my eighth step list. He was one of the first ones on my eighth step list. And one of the reasons was, of course, he was born into a shooting gallery. And, he lived the life. He was the kid of a junkie. And we all know what that's like. And he was on my eighth step list. And one of the most painful incidences with him was, you know what Christmas is like? That's like a junkie's kind of dream. If you have a kid, Christmas is a great time of year to be a parent when you're a junkie. Because social service agencies give you money. They give you money for toys, they give you money for food, right? They give you toys, you get to wrap them up so your kid has something under the tree. And I spent all of it one year. He had two trucks and he woke up the next morning and he looked at me and he said, "I must have been a bad boy. Santa didn't bring me much." Yeah, painful. And so what I did to make that amends to him, not only stay clean a day at a time, but I brought him to Disney all by himself when he was 21 years old. We get to Disney and there's an unusually large amount of men at Disney that weekend. I brought my son to Gay Pride weekend at Disney. Yeah, as a ninth step amend. He's a heterosexual male. He got a kick out of it. But the steps taught me that I didn't have to stay prisoner to that stuff that made me feel uncomfortable with me. And the 10th and 11th and 12th step helps me hang on to all that stuff. I tell you about the steps for a couple reasons. I started out by telling you that the steps for me were about discovering who I am and what I like. Green's my favorite color. I discovered that writing the steps. I love country music, AC/DC, old Motown, and 2 Chainz. I love fast cars, fast motorcycles. I love Chevrolets, pickup trucks. I love cowboy boots, pimp shoes. Love it when a man walks in with a fine pair of shoes. Something about that. I love wearing hats. I love my kids. I love my parents. I love school. I love learning. I love my sponsees. I love Narcotics Anonymous. I love the woods. I love the mountain. I love the beach. I love the sunset. I love the sunrise. I love the desert. I love Vegas. I love Maine. I love Washington, D.C., Baltimore, and Ocean City Beach. I love traveling. I love that I have a sense of humor. I love that God made me a sensual woman. I got a touch, taste, smell, I gotta eat that shit up to appreciate it. I've embraced my sensuality. I'm not ashamed of it anymore. I just gotta be safe with it now. I was reckless with my sensuality. I gotta be safer with it now. It's okay that I'm a single white female, but it's not okay if I fuck your husband. All about change for me. The steps taught me how to change. It taught me what I loved. It taught me what I liked. It taught me what I didn't like. I don't like stingy people. I don't like it. I don't like it. I love being generous. I've been blessed in Narcotics Anonymous. I love sharing what I have freely. I'm an old timer in Narcotics Anonymous. I'm not going to preach to you, but I'm going to share with you some of the. And I'm not, let me tell you this. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying that my life is bountiful. My life is bountiful. And the God of my understanding wants me to share more of my bounty. When I first got clean, I didn't have two nickels to rub together, which is why I stayed a whore for a while, because I like the money. If you've been blessed with financial bounty in Narcotics Anonymous, perhaps you can do the next newcomer a favor and buy them some literature. Maybe you can make a donation to the newcomer donation jar at the next convention. Those are the things I do because I'm afraid not to. I heard somebody say, if you put $5 in the basket, you'll get that back 1,000 times over. I want to be different today. People are watching Narcotics Anonymous. They're not watching us just in this convention center. They're watching us on the boardwalk. They're seeing us in restaurants. They're watching us at our jobs. They're watching us at the daycares when we pick up our kids and drop them off. They're watching us in colleges. They're watching us at jails, institutions, at hospitals. Narcotics Anonymous lives outside this convention. So what I'm saying is I want to act accordingly. My obligation is to act accordingly. I need to be generous with my bounty. I need to tip the waitress a little more. I need to put a little more in the basket. I need to buy more literature to give it away. They say in the 12th step, you can't keep it if you don't give it away. That means if you don't, listen, you don't have to be invited to go on a commitment to be giving it away. You can buy an extra piece of literature and give it to somebody in a meeting. You can put more money in the basket. All I'm saying is that I want to be different. I want to take Narcotics Anonymous. I want to take that miracle beyond measure outside of here. I want to stop being mean to people. I don't want to be a cranky old timer. As much. I want to show a little more love and a little less hate. I want to take the good things I've learned in Narcotics Anonymous out of here. I'm a member of two home groups. That's right, two. Monday night and Tuesday night. Two, my first year, listen up, newcomer. I was a member of 7 home groups. I got 7 one-year medallions my first year. I thought that they were going to have a parade down Main Street. I'm going to wrap up with 2 stories. I have a sponsor. I have a home group. I go to meetings. I sit up front. I leave my phone in the car. I park my car. I love you too, man. But I want to be better. I want to be better in Narcotics Anonymous. I want to be better out of Narcotics Anonymous. I want to show them that the lie is dead. Addicts do recover. When I'm walking down the street and there's a panhandler, I give them money. I know what it's like to beg. When I see the hooker late at night, I give her money. I give girls money not to hook sometimes. I say, come, I'll buy you a meal. I'll take you to a meeting. Here's $20 in cigarettes. Don't whore tonight. You know, I want to be better at this. I want to carry the miracle-making business outside of Narcotics Anonymous. I want to show up at my kids' events. I want to listen to my children. I want to raise my kids. I want to be there when my kids have more kids. I buried my parents, all my parents, while I've been clean. I want to be friends with every senior citizen I run into. I want to be kind to all the old people and the young people. I want to take Narcotics Anonymous to another level. I want to take it out of... We're global, God damn it! We're in the miracle-making business, just not here, but in Iran, Iraq, China, Iceland, Norway, South America, Africa. Come on, everywhere. I want to take the miracle beyond measure everywhere I go. I try to be kind and considerate, because that's what they taught me in Narcotics Anonymous. If I'm kind and considerate, I get it back tenfold. So they said, Rena, you can be anything you want in Narcotics Anonymous, because we're in the miracle-making business, and we dream big around here. You got a dream? Dream big, Rena. I said, really? I want to be a clean hooker. You heard my story. They said, I woke up one day and said, Nah, I don't want to be a clean hooker anymore. They said, well, what did you want to be when you were a little girl? I said, I wanted to be Perry Mason. For you younger folks. Perry Mason was the coolest cat on black and white TV. Perry Mason was a lawyer, and he walked in a courtroom on that black and white TV, and he was larger than life. He had strength and compassion and empathy. He loved the underdog. He didn't take anybody's bullshit. 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 He seemed to have it all going on. They said, Rena, you could be a lawyer. I said, nah, I don't know. I know about lying, cheating, stealing, and hooking. They said, no, this is Narcotics Anonymous. You can be whatever you want to be. So I went back to school. I took a class at a time. Because you know what they told me in here? You can only stay clean a day at a time. So I took one class at a time. And I got one A at a time. Because I'm an addict. If I'm going to go to school, I got that obsessive compulsive disorder. I'm going to get 110 on every exam. And I got my undergrad, and then I graduated from undergrad. I got my associates at first. And people in Narcotics Anonymous threw me a party. And then I went on to get my bachelor's. And people in Narcotics Anonymous threw me a party. And I started applying to law school. So I applied to Harvard. I said, I'm a member of Narcotics Anonymous. I used to be a hooker, I'm not anymore. I want to go to your prestigious law school. They said no. I saved that rejection letter. Because you don't know if you don't try. And then I went to law school and I graduated from law school. And I love that you love that, but what I want you to do is know that I am so grateful to Narcotics Anonymous. Because I never would have applied. I never would have taken a midterm or an exam or a work-study job in the library with those punk-ass rich fucking white kids from Long Island. If you're from Long Island, I apologize. But not if you're one of them punk-ass fucking white kids. Anyways, it was Narcotics Anonymous, though, that got me there. graduated from law school, sat for the bar exam in 2 states, because I'm an addict. Passed the bar exam in 2 states, because I'm an addict. If you're sitting there and you're wondering what you want to be when you grow up, I'm here to tell you today, if this lying, cheating whore can be a fucking lawyer, you can be anything you want to be. Thank you. I'm going to close one more story. How much time I got? You're like my time guy. I got 5 minutes? Yeah. One more story. Two more stories. He's rubbing his head. I can't fucking believe this is it. I become a lawyer. I pass the bar exams. I'm looking for a job. I'm walking up and down. You know how every city has their street. Was it again for you? 14th? Right. We had Bedford Street in Fall River, and Bedford Street was where my stroll was. I walked up the south side and down the north side, and every night, and I worked for John in almost every doorway, and that was where I worked, Bedford Street. That was the stroll, and John was my boss. And I graduated from law school, and it was, it was 15 years later on. And, you know, every downtown goes through a major revitalization, right? They fix the buildings, they kick out the pimps and whores, close the crackheads down, they make them into cute little shops where they sell shiny things, right? And so that's what they did on Bedford Street. They renovated everything, and they put office things in. And I ran into a kid named Kenny. And Kenny says, geez, Rena, where you been? And I says, oh, I just graduated from law school. I'm looking for a job. I passed the bar. He says, I got a law office right over here, 10 Purchase Street, right on the corner of Purchase and Bedford Street. I said, oh, that's awesome. He says, come on up. We'll talk about giving you a job. I go up. He's on the 5th floor. He says, come on in. Why don't you go down here and check out an office? They had, like, the maroon carpeting and the fish tanks built in the wall and all carved cherry wood and mahogany everywhere, right? Nice law office. And he says, pick an office. And I look through all the offices, and there's a corner office. And I said, I'll take this off. He says, there you go, start. And I got a desk and a chair and a name plaque, Attorney Rena B., blah, 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 blah. And I'm sitting at my desk one day, and I look out one window, and I can see the north end of Bedford Street. I look out the other, and I can see the south end of Bedford Street. And I said, look at this shit. For John in the doorway of that same building, there I was, 5 stories up, working for Kenny now. So when you think that you don't have a way out, I'm here to tell you Narcotics Anonymous was my way out. I'm living miracles beyond measure every moment of every day. I got 3 kids now. And my children are all in college or college grads or going through college. My kids are not addicts because Narcotics Anonymous helped me break that cycle in my family. It doesn't always work that way, but I have to tell you, knock on wood, my kids were raised in Narcotics Anonymous, and I participate in their lives and they participate in mine. I'm a single mother of 3 kids. Narcotics Anonymous helped me learn how to be a parent in here. I learned about discipline and perseverance and empathy and listening and showing up. Just showing up was enough for my kids because I never showed up before. I'll close with one last story. So I'm a lawyer for a few years for Kenny. I go out on my own. I'm a court-appointed criminal defense attorney now. I'm still hanging with hookers, pimps, and thieves. No, I cannot give any of you legal advice this weekend. Felons are my people. And so there was a group of about 10 or 15 of us lawyers that were traveling to Washington, D.C. Because in order to get admitted to practice in front of the United States Supreme Court, you have to fill out an application, get a sponsor, and then you go up there when they approve it, pay your $45, and go up there and you get sworn in front of the justices in the Supreme Court building. So I moseyed up there with 10 other attorneys, and we went in that Supreme Court building, and we went into the courtroom, and it's very regal. Big, beautiful velvet curtains. These justices come out from behind a big curtain. They sit behind a big, beautiful wooden bench, high back chairs. I think they even had like a guy in a trumpet. I'm not sure, but it was something right out of a fairy tale. Swear to God. And we raised our hands and we took an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States and the laws of America. And I sat there and I said to myself for a brief moment, I must be the only lying, cheating whore in this joint, right? Then I realized I was in Washington, D.C. There's plenty of them there. You can't make this shit up. I was so excited about being given the opportunity to go there. I was so excited that Narcotics Anonymous had bestowed on me miracles beyond measure, right? I went down, there's a bathroom in the basement of the Supreme Courthouse, the public restroom. And I went in there, and when I finished my business, I took my little pen, and I wrote, N.A. was here. There's no greater honor than to be asked to come share your story to such a prestigious group of people. If I leave you with anything tonight, is that Narcotics Anonymous is in the miracle-making business. If this crazy, batshit crazy little fucking hooker can do it, I'm telling you right now, we're in for the fucking ride of our lives. Let miracles beyond measure be the theme of your recovery too. I'm Reena, I'm an addict. Thank